Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Lil Burn.
What's up, babe?
It's Hugh Douglas from The Morning Show. Check out Mike Contest. He joins us every Monday at 9:20. He could talk Atlanta United. He could talk Atlanta Hawks, Atlanta Falcons. He's a man of all hats on Sports Radio 92.9 again.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, halfway through the John Chuckery Show here on a beautiful Wednesday evening. If you're just joining us, good evening. Hope you're having fun. Hope you're enjoying the show right now. Lots going on, and thankfully we still have another 2 hours to continue to talk about what is going on. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll jump into audio overload. We're going to hear from our Falcons at training camp. We'll hear from Aaron Rodgers, who had himself a day, and probably go out and take a listen to some other NFL players as well, because we're getting plenty of fresh NFL audio as training camp is officially underway. At 92 of the Game on Twitter, at Real Thomas Mott is the place to follow me as well. Always text in our Stone Brothers Diamond text line 404-741-0929. All right, we need to reset the deck because we need to jump into our evening headlines, and we'll start with the Braves. Are you ready? Let's do it. All right, it's a crucial one. You know, we're talking about Game 4 of a five-game stretch where the Braves have a chance to get within three tonight if they were able to win in the in the National League East. They currently are down 1-0. Top of the sixth right now, the Mets have the lead as they had a single in the third that went ahead and scored one run. The Braves have been struggling to get hits literally the entire evening. They have a grand total of four. Austin Riley is 0-2. Jock Peterson is 0-2. Freddie Freeman is one of the ones with few hits. He's up the bat right now. Keep an eye on that game. The coolest part about this game right now is I am told Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis, is at the Mets game right now. Apparently they showed him on TV. Guys, Dylan, you tell me you've seen Ted Lasso, right? You haven't seen Ted Lasso?
I don't think so, Thomas.
Man.
I know obviously who Jason Sudeikis is, but I don't know if I've seen Ted Lasso specifically. I'm going to look it up real quick.
Dude, Ted Lasso is, if you have not heard about Ted Lasso, it's on Apple TV, which is like, who has Apple TV? I have like a free trial right now.
That was your first thing.
Well, I know nobody has Apple TV, dude. Are you kidding me? Literally nobody. It's about a Jason Sudeikis player or character is Ted Lasso. He's a football coach who gets hired as a joke to be a Premier League coach. And it's one of the best like feel good TV shows I've seen in a while. I don't watch TV shows. Like I don't sit there and binge Netflix shows. I watched Ted Lasso, and I love it. And I'll tell you a quick story here as we begin getting into our evening headlines. Braves down 1-0, top of the sixth. My roommate, Will, my childhood best friend who I live with here in Atlanta, we have this running joke right now where he doesn't watch any of the TV shows that I recommend him. Like, Will watches every single possible show. He's seen every single one, but I will recommend him a show, and he's like, no, I don't want to watch that for whatever reason. I finally got him to start Ted Lasso last night. There are 10 episodes in the first season, and they're, you know, the second season just came out. Will started episode one at 11 o'clock. I woke up the next day, saw him before I went to my other job. I said, Will, how far did you get along at Ted Lasso? He watched all 10 episodes. It was that good. I don't know if he slept last night. And he obviously has a full-time 9-to-5 job. So he likes it. So, you know, if Will's willing to lose sleep, then it's a good show. But again, apparently Ted Lasso is at the Mets Park tonight getting a little preview or a little view of our Atlanta Braves. Hopefully they show out for the old ball coaches there. To call him in the TV show.
I will say, I have seen this previewed. I've not watched it, obviously, but I've seen a preview.
It is one of the most like feel good. They're short. They're 30 minutes. Funny. It's got sports mixed in. Great characters. Big fan of Ted Lasso. Definitely everyone should watch it. If you don't care about soccer, and you know, I feel like most of us in America don't, not named Atlanta United, but if you don't like soccer, you'll love this show because it's not like sports heavy. Like your girlfriend would enjoy. Your mom would like it. It's It's really good. Okay, let's get to some of the other news right now. As again, we're still in the top of the sixth right now for the Braves. The NBA draft is tomorrow, which it's always crazy how quickly the NBA draft comes after the NBA season. The Hawks pick 20th. Will they do something crazy? Will they not? That's yet to be seen. I think they're going to stay put at number 20. I think the best player available, Cam Reddish, could look to trade up in the NBA draft by moving Cam Reddish. And Dylan and I talked about how against that we are, but it is something to keep an eye on. And obviously, we're going to have our draft show tomorrow with Mike Conti, Andy Bunker, and then I'm blanking right now. Deshaun Tate as well is going to be the third member of that broadcast. Going to be a great NBA draft broadcast. Encourage you guys to check that out from 7 to 11 tomorrow as the Hawks will have two picks in the first two rounds. One will be at 20. The other one will be at 48. Right now, your projected top overall pick is the freshman out of Oklahoma State, Cade Cunningham. 6'8" point guard is very raw, but also very talented. I think Jay Bill has called him one of the most talented players he's ever seen come out of the NBA draft, which is a little bit of a hot take in my opinion, but that's what Jay Bill said, and we'll see what happens. Jalen Green is in the mix to be the first overall draft pick. I bet he will go number two as the second-year prospect out of Houston. He was in the G League right now is what it was. So yeah, I haven't seen a lot of him as well, which is not a surprise, but he's going to go number two. And then Evan Mobley, the center out of USC, is most likely going to go ahead and go number three. Braves news here. Austin Riley just hit a home run. So he has three home runs in two games. So that's tied 1-1. Austin Riley, a 418-foot blast to center field. Got to like that. Braves are knotted up. Keep you updated.
They're about to start calling Austin Riley Larry. If
man,
he keeps this up,
he's killing it.
He's throwing off some Chipper Jones this series the way he's killing the Mets. You know how Chipper killed the Mets and they called him Larry. I think Austin Riley might get called Larry if he keeps this up.
I couldn't believe it. He got hold of that baseball and it went absolutely crazy. Again, 4 and 18 yards. The Braves are knotted up at one apiece. We go over to the Falcon news of the day, and it's not good. Like they reported yesterday, light little stuff today. They kind of have their first big practice tomorrow, and the problem is we're already missing players. So Dante Fowler has just been put on the COVID reserve list. We don't know if he had a positive test or a positive exposure, contact tracing, whatever it is. But he will be out for at least 5 days. It could be longer. He is alongside 24 other players or 22 other players who have positive COVID either tests or COVID exposures who are all going to be sitting out, including Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. The way it works is you can return within 5 days if you have two negative tests separated by 24 hours or 10 days since the initial positive test. And obviously no signs of the virus. So no Dante Fowler at training camp. You probably won't see him out there for most likely the rest of the week. Could be longer, but something to go ahead and keep an eye on. That's not the worst Falcon news, though. It gets even better. And by better, I mean worse. The Falcons have had to place Matt Gono, Kayla McGarry, and Deidrin Sinnott on the physically unable to perform list heading into their first practice tomorrow. So you will not see two key offensive linemen and one of the rotational defensive players in Sinnott out there for the foreseeable future. Like we don't know how long they're gonna be out. Dylan and I talked about this multiple times in the first 2 hours. The PUP list is no joke. Like you don't go on the PUP list if you have a sprained ankle. Like you don't go on the PUP list if you have a tight hamstring. You go on the PUP list if you have an injury, it's gonna keep you out for an extended period of time. And so we gotta see what's gonna happen now. Is it expected that maybe Jalen Mayfield moves over to right tackle? Josh Andrews is probably going to be the left guard. There are problems already brewing right now with injuries in Falcons training camp. Knock on wood, hopefully this is as bad as it can get because, yeah, these are key players, but the expectation is that they're going to be out there for the start of the NFL season, although we're going to get more info on that tomorrow when I believe Arthur Smith and some of the other Falcons are going to go ahead and be at the podium for their first big in-person press conferences, because gone are the days of Zoom and back are the days of the press scrum that you get after practice at training camp. Always a great time. We have plenty of great audio for that. We'll hear from some other audio and audio overload coming up in about 12 minutes. In other news, this whole Big 12 cease and desist lawsuit against ESPN is one of the most bizarre stories that I have possibly seen in recent history. So you know the whole deal, right? SEC, they're going to go ahead and get UT and Oklahoma. Well, according to the statement, and I guess lawsuit now put out by the Big 12 commissioner, Bob Bowlesby, he alleges that the conference media rights partner, ESPN, conspired to damage the league by luring Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, which of course is detailed in this cease and desist letter. They also said that ESPN has actively engaged the American Athletic Conference to pursue 3 to 5 Big 12 members to join the league, suggesting it would reward with, quote, future television proceeds. So the ESPN, according to this lawsuit, this cease and desist, is actively trying to ruin the Big 12. And you say, why? Well, the Big 12, like we said, is the media rights partner with ESPN. And ESPN understands that losing UT and losing Oklahoma means they're going to lose, you know, viewership on their Big 12 games that they have to broadcast on ESPN's, you know, bevy of networks. And so now you have this scenario where if lawsuits begin, I was reading a tweet from just a couple of hours ago, which basically said that the Big 12 is in the driver's seat here to try and delay the move UT and Oklahoma into the SEC. Brett McMurphy put out a tweet 58 minutes ago, quote, sources tell at Stadium, Big 12 has an advantage in legal dealings with Texas and OU because last thing UT and OU wants is to have a university president, AD, or board or regent member testify on stand with their right hand raised. This is an ongoing thing that we, again, don't have crazy details about, but it's going to get very, very interesting because the thought process was, at least if you were the SEC or Oklahoma or UT, that you would get to be there by next year. Like 2022, you'd be part of the SEC. And right now, essentially, the Big 12 is trying to delay this because it's inevitable that they're going to vote on this tomorrow and the SEC will acquire UT and Oklahoma in 2025. But the Big 12 is going to scratch and claw and try to keep these two teams in the Big 12 until 2025. So this is going to be very, very interesting and very, very fascinating. So we're going to keep an eye on this, but that's a story that's been brewing for the past hour. And I'm sure tomorrow it's going to be a crazy, crazy day. You know what's even crazier? Will ESPN cover this? Because ESPN's the worldwide leader, and they obviously have SportsCenter and all the different shows. Are they going to be allowed to talk about this huge, huge story at all? Like, are they going to mention this at all? Because it's about them. Like, I mean, this is an accusation towards ESPN. Whew! I mean, you always got to turn on SportsCenter tomorrow to see if they're going to talk about it. I bet they won't. I bet that they will, you know, work around this. They'll sidestep this because legally, it's a tough thing to go ahead and do. And finally here, we wrap up our evening headlines. We again mentioned the Braves are knotted up 1-1 after an Austin Riley bomb to center right field to tie that one up right now at a buck apiece, essentially. The NBA, I should say the U.S. men's national team, did bounce back, thank goodness, because they looked atrocious so far this year in their Olympic run. They, of course, lost a couple of games leading up into the Olympics. Well, they played Iran yesterday, and they obliterated Iran 120-66, a 54-point win. And yet, Kevin Durant only had 10. Damian Lillard had 21 on 7-13. And finally, the U.S. men's basketball team is starting to look a little bit more like themselves, and we'll see what they do as their next game, I believe, is against the Czech Republic, but I cannot confirm because my computer has just frozen and won't tell me what exactly their next schedule is going to be. All right, there are your evening headlines in a crazy day in sports. I mean, truly a crazy day in sports, and we didn't even mention the Simone Biles situation, which continues to be the most polarizing story in sports right now simply because people like to argue. I mean, this is... It's a story that is bizarre, and I tend to lean towards the side of you call yourself the GOAT, you need to be out there for your team. But by no means do you need to take that and run with it and start beating people over the head saying, oh my gosh, you know, you don't care about mental health, or oh my gosh, you don't care about winning. Like, it's ridiculous, and it's a perfect indication of why Twitter can be one of the most toxic places in the world, because that seems to be where everybody just likes to argue. So we mentioned it, and she pulled out of the individual event, which will take place tomorrow, and now we sit back and root for 21-year-old alternate Jade Carey, who was 9th overall in qualifying. Wish her luck, and hopefully she brings back the gold in Simone Biles' place for the home country, of course, of the United States. All right, quick break. When we come back, plenty of fresh audio. You're going to want to stay tuned for this audio overload. We're going to hear from some of our Falcons as they have arrived at training camp. We're also going to hear from Aaron Rodgers as he had, the press conference of the day. And then a very interesting quote from Gardner Minshew. Yeah, you're going to hear from Gardner Minshew coming up next. This is a crazy audio overload. Stay tuned. John Chuckery Show, Thomas Mott in for John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back inside the Kia Studios, at least the mobile Kia Studios, Thomas Mott, Dylan Matthews, Day-Day Lewis, hanging out with you guys until 11 p.m. on the East Coast. Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll jump back into the NBA draft. Play a little clip part of the interview I had with Deshaun Tate yesterday as he gets ready for his broadcast on our station tomorrow night during our NBA draft show. Mike Conti and Andy Bunker will have that one from 7 to 11, so it'll be happening, you know, this time tomorrow, essentially, and we're going to break down what the Hawks should do, what they possibly can do, and what you look forward to in terms of possible draft picks, even though they sit kind of in the middle of the first round there at number 20. All right, boys, it's time for audio overload. Let's get the audio flowing here. Here are some of the five best interview sounds of the day. We'll start with Eric Harris, spoke to the media yesterday on defense is off to a good start.
In OTAs, you know, with the restrictions, obviously, and the people that were here, you know, I think we took big strides, and young guys are willing to listen to the older guys. Credit to the defensive staff. They presented the installs very well. Dean Pease, his defense speaks for itself, you know. It's multiple, but it's very simplistic and difficult for the opponents.
Natural, but very simplistic, difficult for opponents. That is the quick preview there by Eric Harris on the Dean Pease defense. Dylan, you mentioned earlier about an hour ago that you are pumped to see if Dean Pease can squeeze the most juice out of this defense. And I think if he's able to get them in the top 15, yeah, this is a 9-win football team. If they're in the bottom half or bottom 20 of the league, I should say, well, then, you know, maybe it's an 8 or 7-win football team.
Yeah, we talked about it last night, Thomas. A lot of what the Falcons are going to do and how competitive they will be this season relies on how good this Dean Pease defense is going to be. If it's a top half defense, like you said, if it's in the upper half, top 15, I think we'll be pretty good, and I think we'll make some noise. Maybe even a postseason berth is in the Atlanta Falcons' future. Bottom half, though, you know, 16 and lower, it might not be looking so great for the Falcons' postseason and relevancy chances. So a lot rides on the, because we think the offense is going to be good. I think everybody thinks the offense is going to be fine. They're going to figure things out. But with a young defense, you know, Eric Harris and, you know, Harmon and Deion Jones, Foyer, Grady, we got some veterans sprinkled in there, but we got some young players at some very important positions. So a lot is riding on this DNP's defense.
We'll see what happens as we get kind of our first look at practices tomorrow. The first open practice will take place on Saturday. Speaking of this training camp as a whole, Mike Davis has been interesting audio here. We'll play for you in a second about what he expects from this training camp. Like, there are some training camps that are, you know, easier than others. Andy Reid, formerly of Philadelphia, now the Kansas City Chiefs, is known for having a brutal first couple of weeks of practice that is, you know, tougher than most. Here's what Mike Davis had to say when he was asked his expectations for an Arthur Smith training camp.
They expect to jump right in. Like, I don't know how you can ease into it, but my expectations is for it to be hard.
I don't know if it's going to be super hard. I haven't heard any sort of details on, you know, that Arthur Smith is planning on running a tough camp. It's his first camp, and so maybe it's going to be brutal, and then we'll talk about it next year, how the first camp was so difficult or so hard. I mean, I think Arthur Smith's a mellow guy. I don't see him as being kind of a rah-rah, you know, up in your face, go run, do push-ups, you know, terrible sort of thing. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. I think Mike Davis has his work cut out for him to go ahead and solidify the number one running back spot, but get this team relevant in the rushing game, as they have not been for a very, very long time since, I mean, Devontae Freeman rushed for 1,000 yards, what feels like eons ago. All right, the other big story in the National Football League today was obviously Aaron Rodgers, and there's a lot of clips we could play from the Aaron Rodgers press conference. The, you know, incineration of the Green Bay Packers is what it felt like overall. Here was a portion that's really interesting where Rodgers admits that he considered retiring.
Yeah, that was definitely something I thought about. You know, I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness in things off the field.
I was honestly surprised at how candid Aaron Rodgers was. And he's not really, not saying he's not known for being a candid guy, but he's normally a pretty, you know, straight shooter, pretty cut and dry in terms of his press conferences and talking to the media. He laid it all out there. It was very clear that Aaron Rodgers has zero regard for how the Green Bay front office views him. And I maybe it took him long enough to figure out that he's Aaron Rodgers and they're just living in his world, you know? I think it's the most bizarre thing in the entire world that Green Bay, according to Rodgers today, wouldn't talk to him, wouldn't ask for his advice in free agency, wouldn't ask for his advice in draft stuff, and really kind of shoot out players that Rodgers wanted to keep there, like Jordy Nelson, who they shipped off or they didn't resign or whatever. I think they traded Jordy Nelson to the Raiders. The Randall Cobb situation, which they've brought him back, but just a really bizarre thing. And it does make you kind of go, you know, there are dumb people out there. And I think that's what we got to cut this down to. There are people in positions of power in major league organizations like the Green Bay Packers, if not the franchise in the National Football League, who are dumb, who make dumb decisions. And you like to think, Dylan, that you and I should not know more than a GM, should not know more than a front office personnel who are getting paid the big bucks to construct and create winning teams. And yet in this situation, I mean, you could have an IQ of 7 and understand that Aaron Rodgers should be consulted in everything that you do for your franchise because he is Aaron Rodgers.
Man, I'm telling you, if I was a GM or an owner or whatever, front office executive in Green Bay, I am leaning on Aaron Rodgers to help me get players. He is my go-to guy. I am doing and involving him in any and everything I am thinking about. Do the Packers front office organization not realize that Aaron Rodgers is your guide? He is the heart, the engine, the soul to you winning another Super Bowl championship. You got one because of him. You could have had more maybe if you would have been listening to him, involving him in what you've been thinking this whole time. It doesn't seem that hard when it comes to stuff like this. I mean, like you said, it seems like we could do this. I mean, I know it's not easy, but the Green Bay Packers front office is making it seem harder than it really is.
I feel like all you'd have to do as a Green Bay Packer front office man, like, let's say I'm the GM. Here's what I'd do. All right, Aaron, here's the money we have. here's where we're at in cap space. Who do you want? Like, here's where we're at in cap space. Tell us who you want. We'll then do our homework on how we could possibly make this work. We'll come back to you and say, this is very possible or it's not possible.
Period.
Like, that's it. That's all you got to do. And then draft picks. Aaron, all right, here's what we think the team needs. What do you think the team needs? Who do you like in this process? Here's who we like in this process. This does not seem hard. Like, Terry Fontenot had a rough job this offseason because he has a very good quarterback, yes, but a terrible cap situation and tons of holes. The Packers don't have tons of holes, and they also have Aaron Rodgers. For as great as Matt Ryan is, he's not Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is... He's the greatest talent we've ever seen play the quarterback position. He's not the greatest quarterback of all time, but talent-wise, he's the best. This seems so simple. Aaron, what would you like? Well, I would like this. Okay, great. We're going to try and make it happen. There. Done. Crisis averted. He retires a Green Bay Packer. You win multiple Super Bowls. Hire me as the GM, darn it. I'd do it for a quarter of the price. What do they pay GMs today? This isn't hard. And yet, apparently it is. Okay. Other audio here. If you didn't listen to the entire Aaron Rodgers press conference, you're missing out because it was like 20 minutes of just the Green Bay organization getting absolutely obliterated. Okay, Gardner Minshew, who you remember, the mustache guy who's like a cowboy for the he looks like a cowboy. He's not actually a cowboy. He looks like a cowboy. Kind of a Wild West vibe going with him. He was the starting quarterback for a little bit there, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, they drafted someone named Trevor Lawrence. I think he's good. I've heard good things. You know, he might have been pretty good at Clemson. I'm not sure. Gardner Minshew was asked about, you know, competing for the number one job, even though that's not really like an option because Trevor Lawrence will start. Here was Gardner Minshew's soundbite from a couple days ago.
How do you take your mindset into a very abnormal year?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, man. In preparation for the competition, I haven't taken in weeks. It's not an option for me. Number two is not an option. I'll tell you that.
That's good. That's pretty funny. Number two is not an option. For Gardner Minshew, well, I mean, he's going to have to eventually, right? I mean, he'd be very constipated, and he's going to lose that job. He will lose that job to Trevor Lawrence because Trevor Lawrence, according to reports today at a Jaguar training camp, he looked pretty darn good. I think Trevor Lawrence, and I mentioned this in hour number two, I'm very excited to see what the Jaguars can do this year because I am a Tim Tebow fan. I'm not some sort of, you know, hater who hasn't seen a picture of Tim Tebow in 5 years. Did you see a picture of Tim Tebow today? The dude's jacked. Tim Tebow is a specimen. He's going to make that team. Mark my words. Tim Tebow will make that team and have an impact at the tight end spot. You think I'm dumb? Then, I don't know. I mean, I guess you don't like fun because Tim Tebow is going to be a lot of fun. I think Tim Tebow is going to be fun. But Trevor Lawrence had a great day today. He's obviously one of the best talents to come out from a quarterback standpoint in a very, very long time. And I really, really, really think that the Jaguars can be a playoff team this year. One, because of obviously the roster that they have. They had a very good offseason. And two, and this is most importantly, the division that they're in, really not that great. I mean, the Titans take a step back without Arthur Smith. Deshaun Watson is not coming back anytime soon, in my opinion, despite the fact he was out there today in a very bizarre training camp scene in Houston. And, you know, I'm blanking. Who's the other team in the AFC in that division? Tennessee. The Texans.
Colts.
Oh, and, you know, what's Carson Wentz, right? I mean, I think that maybe the Colts would be pretty good.
And
what's Carson
Cooker
Wentz,
just went to the Cowboys.
That's true, although he's been injured a lot. So I don't see that as a big deal overall. All right, final bit of audio. We got a short amount of time here. Here was Simone Biles. This isn't too long, right? Because we have time to play the Simone Biles audio, right? All right, let's play the Simone Biles audio.
It's been really stressful, this Olympic Games, I think, just as a whole, not having an audience. There are a lot of different variables going into it. It's been a long week. It's been a long Olympic process. It's been a long year. So just a lot of different variables, and I think we're just a little bit too stressed out, but we should be out here having fun, and sometimes that's not the case.
You know, the more I look at the Simone Biles situation, I almost feel like part of this is poor wording by her point, like, and kind of self-inflicted in terms of some of the media pushback that has happened to her over the past couple of days. Because she also got into the idea that she had the spins, which is a gymnastics term where she, you know, is flying through the air and she kind of loses where she's at. And there's a chance for, you know, not landing on your feet and causing major injury. And she mentioned that later on. But that audio was kind of the first thing that she said. It was like, you know, stressful. There are no fans. I want to have fun. And so I just don't want to be out there. And that was, you know, that rubs people the wrong way because it's like, what? Like, what do you mean? Like, you're an Olympic athlete. You've been there before. You know, stress is part of the job. I think if she would have come out and not said just, you know, I'm stressed. It's hard. If she would have come out and said, You know, I had the spins. Like, I was seriously concerned about hurting myself. I'm not going to risk snapping my neck in half just to win a gold medal. This would not even be an issue. And so, I don't know. I'm not going to say it's fully self-inflicted. But the audio there, you can see why some people are like, man, that's strange coming from an Olympic athlete. You know, picture LeBron James saying that, which is the comparison that's made a lot, and rightfully so. Picture Tom Brady saying that. Like, you know, there were a lot of fans in the stands last year. And, you know, I just had a stressful week. Like, that just wouldn't fly. And so, again, I understand where she's coming from. And I'm not on her side here. I'm not going to, you know, rip her. I'm not going to defend her and say that she's a hero for doing this. But I can see where both angles are coming from. I think a little more clarity on her part might have helped out in terms of the fact that the spins are a legit gymnastics term that, you know, is a fear of causing serious injury, because when you flip like 80 times in the air like Simone Biles does, I mean, she's incredible. Like she bounces all over the place out there. If you lose where you're at in space and land wrong, it's serious injury and, you know, long-term effects. So there's your Simone Biles audio. There is your overall audio overload as we hear some of the five best interview sounds. I'm pumped tomorrow. I thought Arthur Smith was going to talk to the media today. He didn't. They had kind of more of an internal day one at Falcon training camp. Tomorrow, I've heard, should be the first day we hear from Arthur Smith. So there'll be plenty of fresh audio on all the main shows taking place on Thursday. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to jump into the NBA draft, because it is tomorrow. We got an NBA draft show at 7. The Hawks, I think they're going to have a pretty quiet overall night and kind of get their guy. We'll talk about who they could possibly draft. And also hear from DeShawn Tate yesterday, a little portion of my interview with him on who DeShawn Tate thinks that they could go ahead and draft. That's all coming up next year as Thomas Mann in for John Tuckery rolls on Sports Radio 910 of the Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What's happening in Atlanta?
Check it out.
Hey, man, Mike Bell here from Dukes and Bell. And catch our take on the headlines every weekday at about 2:20. Get a fresh perspective on what's going on in the world right here on Dukes and Bell on 92.9 The Game.
Oh, man, cruising through a really fun Wednesday edition of the John Chuckery Show. I'm your host, Thomas Mott, filling in for John as we're having a lot of fun on the eve of the NBA draft. We have to get into a little bit of what's going on with the NBA draft and what the Hawks could possibly go ahead and do in terms of the number 20 overall draft. We spoke to DeShawn Tate, who will be a part of our draft show tomorrow night at this time with, of course, Mike Conti and Andy Bunker. Get a little 5-minute clip from that, and we're going to discuss his thoughts here. We'll start with Tate, though.
First of all, people might say, you know, there's not really a lot of good quality players around that time in the draft. To my knowledge, around 4 years ago, John Collins was picked somewhere around that area, I think 17 or something like that. So you never know what you're going to get, particularly in a solid draft like this. But I will say enough to say that I think that they ideally need to go after a big, in my personal opinion. I mean, listen, I understand the vision of what Travis Schilling trying to put together and in need of a backup point guard. Getting younger, I'm not sure, is the way you want to go. So ultimately, option number one, DeShawn Tate only, is that they would probably look to move that pick to try and get somebody else in here that could help assist Trae Young and the others to get past the point that they did this year. But I'm looking in terms of a big, not exactly 110% sure what's going to happen with John Collins just yet, considering the fact that we won't know that until after the draft. You've got Okongwu that's going to be out for quite some time to begin the season, and that just pretty much leaves you Capella, because the Bruno Fernando thing doesn't really seem to pan out so much. Got a couple decent names, I think, that could be found somewhere right around that position that could help. In the event, I would be looking at the point guard spot in free agency, and if I'm going to go with a big, I'd be working on that in the draft.
Okay, I want to go to the report from Fred Katz at The Athletic, which came on Monday morning. That is, of course, that Bradley Beal has basically asked for a trade this week. He wants to get moved before the NBA draft. We'll see if that actually happens. And he said the Hawks would, quote, be in the mix, end quote, for a potential to go ahead and trade for Bradley Beal. We've talked about Beal in the past. Give me a likelihood. And I know that, you know, there are people who are very plugged in these sort of things. Do you think that the Hawks are going to legitimately pick up the phone and make a call to the Wizards about Bradley Beal? Or is this just kind of a fantasy wish list for a guard that's not really going to come to the ATL?
You know, I don't know, hot take, Tommy, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not putting anything past the mastermind that is Travis Link and Wrestler and those guys, especially with what we've just seen them put together with a team like this, not just this year, but just trending in the right direction on the upward trajectory. So I think that it is a possibility. Is it as likely as some, depending on who you ask, think that it is? Probably not. But I think that there is some likelihood to it that there at least will be an engagement of that type of conversation. I'm not in that front office, so I can't say as far as that much goes, but I think that not only will there be some entertaining of that, but I think that there also should be, because realistically, when there were some talks about bringing Trae Young some help, as good as these guys have been, okay, talking about Bogey and talking about Gallo and Lou and some of these other guys, I'm not sure that that's the kind of help that he was talking about after his first 2 years. Now, they have been good, more than good, and helped contribute to what they've been able to do this year. I think ideally, names like Bradley Beal and maybe some others that might be out there that could help catapult them and take them to the next level is a little bit more of what he had in mind in the event that those rumors are true.
I saw the other part that the Hawks can't pay all their wings, and so they might trade Cam Reddish at this draft to get a higher first-round draft pick. There's no way the Hawks are going to get rid of Cam Reddish this offseason, right? Like, I think we saw too much from him in Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals, where he was playing great defense on Chris Middleton. He was banging three-pointers. Mm-hmm. There's no way that they're going to go ahead and move him right now this week, right?
No, I'm totally in disagreement with you on this one, hot take, Tommy.
Really?
That's not too often, but listen, absolutely. Because listen, let me tell you something. We all remember what we saw last, okay? So this year we've seen, of course, Nemi Millen only had a handful of games or so to work within with Cam Reddish and things like that, coming off of an injury and so forth. I think that's another part of it, is injury prone. Maybe sometimes getting him to be fully engaged from a confidence standpoint, a couple of the red flags that we kind of heard about when he was coming in as a rookie. And while there is some value there with what we've saw, we've seen that potential, that level of potential is extremely, extremely high for him, as well as it should be. But I also think that we've seen a little bit more undeliverance, if there's even a such word. I'm kind of making that up in my take dictionary. An underdeliverance of performance of what we expected from him from the time that he walked in the door all the way up until this point. Now, hoping that he returns with the Atlanta Hawks, of course, that's a personal preference for each person. But if you're going to make a move, whether it be him or whomever else, I really don't think that they're going to have the opportunity to pay all of these wings. And with all of them, they've all had injury issues in the past. You start talking about guys like Hunter, DeAndre Hunter. He was hurt earlier part of this year, as well as Kevin Huerter, who's a guy, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, I might have to stat check this, but I don't think he's participated in a summer league since he's been around. I don't think he's participated in training camps. I might be wrong on that. And some preseason games that he's missed also because of some injury issues. So all three of them in terms of wings, I think that they, you know, definitely had their fair share of being on the IR, but there is value in each of those three guys. So where they really didn't seem to have separated as much, guys started to separate themselves amongst them three. Now those guys are grouped back together, but in a very positive way, and a really good problem to have on the wings for the Hawks.
That was Sean Tate on my show yesterday. And I, you know, the more I think about what he just said there, the more I have to push back. Now, I trust Tate. I think Tate is the basketball expert here in the ATL. I would trust his basketball opinion over anybody in this city, especially when it comes to our Atlanta Hawks. I just don't know if the Hawks could trade Cam Reddish. Like, think about this, because what did Atlanta Hawks fans see recently? And I know that Tate touched on this. He said, you know, recency bias shouldn't play a factor, but recency bias does play a factor, at least from a fan base perspective. The last time we saw Cam Reddish, Dylan, He hit, what, 6 3-pointers, played lockdown D, and was probably one of the only few good players in that closeout game six where they lost in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that Hawks fans, including myself, believe that Cam Reddish has an incredibly high upside. And if you take the team as it is, currently constructed, had a backup point guard at number 20 overall, and expect that Hunter is going to be healthy, Reddish is going to be healthy, and they're all going to be a little bit, both going to be a little bit better, this team can go back and maybe even a little bit further towards the NBA Finals. I think fans would be upset if they went ahead and moved Cam Reddish. And I've seen mock trades today where it's like Cam Reddish, you know, up to you trade number 20 in Cam Reddish to move up to number 10 in this draft to get a player back, and I didn't even recognize the player's name. No, no, no. I don't think that's going to happen. Like, I truly think it's going to be a quote-unquote boring night for the Hawks, and by boring, I mean they don't trade any of their good players away. They simply just get somebody at number 20 who fits the system, fits the mold, whether it's a big or a point guard.
Atlanta Hawks fans would go into a complete uproar if Cam Reddish is traded tomorrow night or even at any point in this NBA offseason. We just haven't seen enough. We haven't had a chance to see Nate McMillan, who we all think is the right guy for this Atlanta Hawks head coaching job. We haven't seen him have his season with Cam Reddish yet. Now, if next season Cam Reddish is injured or he just has a bad season, then okay. I think we can start talking about, okay, like, if we want to really go to the next level and we have to move a guy, maybe Cam is, in fact, that guy to move. But right now we just can't do that, especially after what we have seen lately. And it's not even about the fact that whether it's right or not, because I am still in complete trust of Travis Schlenk. I hate to say it, but this is just how I feel. I will give Travis Schlenk the benefit of the doubt if he does trade Cam Reddish, because Travis Schlenk has not missed with the Atlanta Hawks yet. He hasn't missed in drafting Trey Young, Kevin Huerter, DeAndre Hunter, and at this point, Cam Reddish. He didn't miss in free agency, getting Bogey, Gallinari. You know, you can say what you want about Chris Dunn and Rajon Rondo, but he did trade Rajon Rondo for Lou Will, who came in clutch in some areas in the regular season and in the postseason. So, in my eyes, Travis Schlenk is good. He has not missed yet as the Hawks general manager. If he does trade Cam, I won't necessarily like it, but I will defer to Travis Schlenk. I don't think it happens, though.
That's a good point, and I think that that's something that we can get hit on here, is that we do have to give him the benefit of the doubt because Schlenk hasn't missed. And maybe the situation with Cam Reddish is what DeSean Tate touched on, is that, you know, what we saw is an anomaly and not what you normally would get out of Cam Reddish, because Travis Schlenk and the rest of the guys are in the building every single day, and they've seen Cam Reddish, you know, healthy and not healthy on the practice court, and they know the potential. And if they think the potential for Cam Reddish is not there, then move him. And we're going to hope that who you move him for and who you move him to is the right move. But again, my, you know, radio host eye, which means nothing and is worth nothing, really thinks he sees something special in Cam Reddish. And I truly believe, hey, you have a healthy DeAndre Hunter, a healthy Cam Reddish, and a healthy Trae Young. They at least go to 7 in that series. I'm not going to sit here and be like, well, they for sure are going to beat the Bucks, and then definitely would have won the NBA Finals. Stop. Who cares? They at least go to 7. And at least going to 7 means that they're going to be able to at least go back to the Eastern Conference Finals next year and compete for an NBA title, and I'm pumped for that. Honestly, I would love for them to stay put at 20. Draft Baylor shooting guard, point guard, whatever you want to call him, Davion Mitchell. He's a both ends of the floor guy. He hits threes. He can create for his own self. He's incredibly quick, and he's a great defender. I mean, they called him off night at Baylor because he would literally give the best player an off night on the opposing team because he was that good at defense. I think if you got that guy to come in to learn the system, no expectation playing behind Trae Young, get a couple of good minutes from him in his rookie season and let him grow, that's a big upgrade for the Hawks. Tate says to go big because they don't know about how long Okongwu is going to be out. That's fine. That's fair. But if you're going to re-sign John Collins, and that's been, you know, kind of the rumor mill that I've been hearing, is that they're going to make a decent offer at John Collins, then you don't necessarily need a healthy Okongwu to start the season. You can let Okongwu take his time because Okongwu doesn't play much anyway when John Collins is out there, because Okongwu was averaging like, what, 7-8 minutes a game. I like Onyeka Okongwu a lot, but I don't think that that would force me to draft a big just because he's going to be out if, in fact, you're able to go ahead and re-sign John Collins. The whole Bradley Beal stuff, we're running out of time here. I'd put it at a 10% chance. I don't think they're going to trade for Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal wants to be a Warrior, which blows my mind because you're the third option behind Steph and Clay, which to me doesn't sound very fun, but maybe he's used to it. He's been the second option behind John Wall and now Russell Westbrook his entire career, and so he doesn't know how to be the number one guy. If I was Bradley Beal, Atlanta is extremely exciting because it's a really fun city. It's great young teammates, and you know, I think it was proven that this is an organization that will embrace you wholeheartedly if you are winning, and you can go very far with Bradley Beal as a number two. But I just think if I'm putting my money down, he's going to be a Warrior, Dylan, instead of, you know, giving us a chance or giving the Miami Heat a chance. There's rumors of the Lakers. I don't see that happening. I think it's Warriors or bust right now for Bradley Beal.
It's tough to say, but I can definitely see where he would want to go to the Warriors and basically guarantee himself a championship, barring any, you know, health issues with the Warriors. So, I mean, maybe Bradley Beal is about that life, and we know wants to go through the East and, you know, meet the Warriors in the finals with the Hawks or something. But yeah, I just, like I talked about earlier, you get a gut feeling. I just got a gut feeling he probably isn't going to end up in Atlanta via trade this offseason. Now, maybe if he's somehow stays with the Wizards and becomes a free agent next season, which he is due to become a free agent next offseason, maybe the Hawks could go out and sign him and make a nice little offer or something. But as far as the trade goes right now, it is feeling kind of like a long shot.
It does feel like a long shot. And I don't think it's going to happen during the during the draft either. Like, I don't see the draft being, you know, this deadline for Bradley Beal. I think it could be soon, but will it happen anytime soon?
It's nice to be in the discussion, though.
No, it is. That's a great point.
It's nice to be in the discussion, though. That means we're heading in the right direction. We're in these types of discussions to get a big name type player. That is good.
I totally agree. I mean, literally, what, 18 months ago, the idea that Bradley Beal would want to be an Atlanta Hawk was like a joke. It was like, ha, good one, you know? Who wants to be an Atlanta Hawk? They're winning like 25 games a year. And now it's like, ugh, you don't want to be an Atlanta Hawk? Are you crazy? You see what we did this past year? Man, I'm pumped, though. I think the draft show, for one thing, on our station tomorrow night is going to be a lot of fun. Anytime you get Conti, Bunker, and Tate in a room together, they were great last year. They're going to be even better this year. I'm excited to listen to that tomorrow night, 7 to 11, basically this time slot that will get you ready to go for the NBA draft. It starts right around 7 p.m. Eastern time, although you know how, you know, draft shows are a little bit slower than you would want it to maybe actually be. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll get into the Not the Brown Liquor Hour. Dylan and I renamed this because we're the dopey young millennials. It is the Young Man's Music Hour to start the 10 o'clock hour. We'll jump into That's Life, a John Chuckery favorite, Sports Radio 92 in the Game, 92thegame.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.